All right, so welcome to the use case 5G use case team meeting for September 3. We have Andy Mayer is the new AT&T contact for the 5G use cases. So Andy, maybe you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm Andy Mayer. Myself, along with Scott Blanford, are going to be kind of participating in the 5G use cases. So I guess the main idea is if there's any questions that come up for AT&T, we'll kind of handle those and bring them back in. I've been involved in ONEP since the beginning, and Scott has as well. Scott's been kind of involved in the use case group as well as the VNF requirements, and I've been involved in VNF modeling, and co-chair of the ONEP modeling subcommittee.
And I assume that means you're sort of chairing this team, right, Andy?
Chairing this team? No.
Well, like the Vimal role, right?
Yeah, so we're kind of acting as the points of contact, Scott and myself. And Scott, I see, just joined too.
Yep, sorry, I just got on.
Yeah, so Vimal had basically sort of been leading, and then he didn't have host rights, so I basically, I did. So I was sort of co-hosting, and then but I have been heavily involved with a lot of the presentations and so forth. So
So I don't know how much Andy told you, but we aren't here to replace Vimal, right? We're not taking over the technical community coordinator position. We're really just trying to represent AT&T's position in 5G. So we recognize that Vimal did a lot more than that, and we aren't proposing that we take over that spot.
And reinforcing what Andy and Scott said, I think Andy and Scott are the voice of AT&T, but we're going to try to have other people to connect the dots with ORAN and ORAN software community and also 3GPP. Because that's going to be a huge challenge. And Andy, you probably saw my email. I hope I didn't use your name in vain or anybody else's.
And certainly people like Tracy and that whole team, they are very scarce on resources. So Andy and I have agreed that we're going to sort of front end a lot of these things in ONAP, but we're almost just a conduit to Tracy and the rest of that team that's doing this stuff.
Scott, don't be modest. We don't like that.
We're just passing along information.
Just on your dovetail. We're just dovetailing.
So we really are a distributed Vimal, I guess. I don't know. But we're not taking over the coordination part.
Right. We can't do the whole technical coordination for our ONAP.
Yeah, we're just the points of contact for 5G-related questions for AT&T.
So Ben, same old, same old. If anybody has a question about, the OOF-based SON use cases, that's still, Shankar. But if it's an AT&T position that's being requested, I think that's Scott or Andy. Am I correct about that, Scott and Andy? I think so,
yeah.
Right?
That sounds good.
Yep. Right. And if we don't have the answer, or even if we will be in tight coordination with your all's team. So. That's the plan that we're planning to operate under.
So I guess I can kind of write splitting Vimal's role.
AT&T point of contact position, but not
who had retired. Yeah. Is this okay, what I wrote, or?
Yeah, I think if you just leave it at 5G.
Yeah. All right. So anybody, or Scott, why don't you introduce yourself also? I don't think you.
Okay, sorry. I was a little bit late. I forgot that this one was coming up, and I was still in the TSC meeting. Scott Blanford, I've been involved in ONAP since the beginning, and ECOMP even before that. Most of my ONAP presence has been in the use case subcommittee, but primarily doing the scaling use case and a couple other earlier use cases. And then I've sort of migrated over into the control loop space and introduced a lot of the control loop, model-driven control loop stuff and self-service control loops and stuff like that, trying to make it much more automated and interactive and things. So, now we are really looking at going in. Control loops are going to continue to be a big part, but control loops in that 5G space and stuff. So that's what I've been working on for the past couple of years at ONAP.
All right, great. Just for the record, I guess, Tracy, why don't you also introduce yourself? I think you're also involved in a lot of this as well. So
I'm Tracy Van Brocco with AT&T. I think I know everybody on the call. And I'm primarily trying to connect the dots across what AT&T requires, not just AT&T, but operators in general. AT&T primarily, because obviously AT&T pays me. That and the activities in ORAN, which is an industry alliance, 3GPP, which is an SDO. We have experts within AT&T who represent us within 3GPP and ORAN. And of course, a lot of what gets realized via ONAP. So that's basically, I don't know if that.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. So
I'm also the queen of the POC and Plug Fest, which is supposed to bring it together and show what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, well, you've done a great job at leading that too. So, and there's another one coming up really soon, just around the corner in a few weeks. So yeah, that's sneaking up on us really quickly. All right, so let's see. We had on the agenda to talk about that. So also, I think we were holding weekly meetings, but I think we probably don't need to run weekly meetings anymore, given that there's actually a lot of dedicated weekly calls for various use cases. There's a weekly end-to-end network slicing call that goes on Wednesdays, a modeling end-to-end network slicing call run by Chi. There's a CMPS weekly call that runs on Fridays. There's a OFS on PCI use case call that runs at 9 a.m. on Fridays. There's a software management call that runs on Wednesdays or Thursdays. So I think, though, that there are a number of use cases, however, that don't have weekly calls that would benefit from these calls. But even then, we probably don't need to run them weekly. So I think what we need to do is maybe think of a new cadence, maybe once a month or something like that, I think, or maybe a little bit more at the beginning of the release, where we really need to start talking about what's planning and what use cases we're doing and to coordinate, and also maybe around the time of DDFs, which is coming up also pretty quickly. There's a DDF in mid-October that we usually present at. At the OENS summit, there's a number of people presenting here. And as Tracy mentioned, there's a PlugFest happening at the same time as well. So what do people think? I think maybe we should just go to, I think if we run once a month, that seems like a better periodicity. Does that seem okay to people? I think this would also.
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi, Marsha.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this would give us. It would give people a little bit more. Or we could set a more sort of a definitive agenda, I think, in that case too. So also the use case realization meetings often handle a lot of things that might have been potentially discussed at the 5G use case call as well, and those are run weekly. So I try to have talks from various use cases or meetings with PTLs to make the use cases happen and release managers. So next week, David McBride is actually going to be talking, or sorry, 2 weeks from now, David McBride's going to be talking about some updates in the release management. And then Andy, myself, and Jacqueline are going to be talking about the location model and place object and geolocation management. Last week, Tracy led a call at the use case realization call discussing, or last week, the yesterday, boy, days are blending together under COVID, discussion of the plug fest. We're looking at demos, and she's collecting presentations and demos and proposals and talks for that. So you can listen to that recording too if you missed it. Okay, so what happened here? I can't edit this. All right. Okay, and as usual, of course, if you have any topics you would like to propose for a meeting, just let me know. And I'll change the calendar to once a month. okay, so some of the other topics, the R8, Honolulu, requirements and proposals are up. Let me see. Okay. And we've started presentations on those. There've been a couple, I've made a couple of presentations already for that. Let me just put in here. Maybe we want to start thinking about some of the, well, at least just so people are aware. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit. Let me get to the use case pages here. Okay, so for the R7 use cases, some of these will probably carry on into R8. I know I just presented on the service modeling this past Monday, and I suspect the OFSAN use case will probably continue on. Marge, there might be some continuation to the standard define use case.
Possibly, we need to figure out if we can get everything in or not.
Right. And Oscar, I don't know if you know about, do you know what use cases might be extended for maybe PM data control?
Actually, we're looking at it right now. Which ones? We might continue, but
I see. Okay.
It's not really decided yet.
Does anybody know of any new, completely brand new use cases coming that we don't know about yet?
I'm not aware of any.
Yeah, okay. And I assume for MDONs, Xinmao, is there going to be extensions in R8 or?
No.
No, okay. All right. Are you working on a different use case then, or is there a different?
As far as I know, no plan at this moment.
Okay, so this is basically you completed everything by R7.
Right. This for the MDOS extension for this specific use case, and Fujitsu's plan is to basically maintain it for the
okay.
next two releases.
Yeah,
and for the new use case, we are still under discussion. So, for R8.
Okay, I do know that. I mean, you know, I started working on plug and play, for example, in R2, and we're still tweaking it. So I, you know, there, I expect usually there's just constant tweaking and little stuff that needs to be improved. So yeah, it's an ongoing project. So for CMPS, the Configuration Persistency Service, I do know there's quite a bit of work that's going to happen in R8. Ericsson is leading a POC in R7 for this. So I'm sure that'll the proposal there is going to be that it's going to be a standalone component in R8, and the POC that's being undertaken there hopefully will provide some of the foundation software and a lot of the basic agreements that and architectural decisions are being worked now for that. And a number of people, there's quite a lively team that meets for that project every Friday. Okay, so I do know there might be some extensions also to plug and play, possibly for pre-onboarding and onboarding. And I don't know if Oscar can say anything about software upgrade or I'm not sure.
It's the same thing where looking still at all of the use cases, what we should continue and so on.
All right. So just so you know, I believe Ala is running these meetings every other week. So I think the next one is in mid-September. So if you have a new use case, you'll want to, you know, write a similar thing to what you did for R7, the business impact executive summary, put in a table of the contacts working the use case and
that's detail. Only if it's new, right, Ben? Not if it's extended.
If it's so the reason why she retitled it as a requirement subcommittee is she felt that there weren't really any new use cases coming into ONAP, but rather just atomic requirements adding onto existing use cases. So if you just have a single enhancement, it's appropriate to create a requirement, as she calls them, but we still kind of.
But this whole thing, business impact and all this, is required for an enhancement?
Yeah, usually what I've done is just mostly cut and paste the previous releases, and then I'll add a sentence to say what's happening in R8, for example. So what I did here was I just took all of what was in R7 and I just added this R8 stuff. So it's pretty straightforward, I feel.
One thing. I wonder a bit about, maybe it will become clearer, is that there's also talk about the new release cadence.
Yes, yes.
And how to work with features.
Right, right.
Because there it's almost assumed that the feature will span multiple releases. Mm.
Yes, that's an extremely good point, yeah. Right. So I am trying to call Chocker to see if he's available to describe that new release cadence thing. And that's a really good point, Oscar. But let me just spend a second or two from what I know about it for people's knowledge here. So this is the proposed, this was shown on the TSC last week. But it's been discussed, in principle, it's been discussed, although this slide is new. So this hasn't been seen before, really before in the past week and a half. But the concept is being led by Chocker and he has presented the concept a number of times on the DDF. He was at the June DDF. So the idea is that basically these non-functional requirements are now going to be called general requirements. And what they were seeing was that in the past couple of releases, these non-functional requirements are kind of being left on the table and nobody, because they're a community thing, there's not necessarily a lot of vested interest from any particular group or person to work on those. So the TSC is trying to basically make sure that those are supported. But one of the main things that's happening is they're moving to a shorter release cadence cycle, a 4 month cycle instead of 27 and a half weeks. So basically there's three releases a year, which is fairly ambitious. So I would expect there to be maybe less content, obviously. And what they're trying to do also is that features can sort of come in when they're ready, and they're proposed when they're ready, and they finish whenever they're done, you know, when they're done. That will relieve some of the overhead, probably, to Marge's point, like, you know, with every release, instead of proposing all these things with every release, as we have sort of a constant overhead for a particular use case. If that can carry on over releases, we don't have to constantly represent the concept of that use case again, release after release, which we've kind of been doing, or at least for those use cases that carry on over multiple releases. So that would alleviate some of that pressure. And I think they're gonna trial this in Honolulu. So from what I gathered from last week's TSC, and the DDF coming up in mid-October is focused. One of the focus tracks, I think, is gonna be talking about this new release cadence management. And I don't know if other people have, I know other people attend the TSC, if you guys want to add, chime in from my recollection. Any other thoughts on that? Or do you guys remember other things that from this meeting presentation? So I am going to try to get Chakr to talk about that. And also, at the next use case realization meeting, David, you can ask also a question, David, on some of this on September 16th. But Oscar is right. If we do move to this, that may change how we have to manage our requirements/use cases. Yeah, and that's not clear to me yet how that's exactly going to happen. But let me copy this for people here. Okay. Okay. Any questions on that? Okay. So
Hey Ben, yeah. I don't know if it's just me, but this Zoom has been cutting in and out. Maybe it's just me. Oh.
Is my voice kind of cutting in and out? Or?
No, the whole thing. The screen goes blank and then comes back and then goes blank and then comes back. So I just don't know if other people have been experiencing that or not. Is it fine for everybody else?
Yeah, I think so. I see you are disappearing from the participants list and coming back all the time.
Yeah, it's very weird. Okay, well, so Ben, I'll check in with you later. I don't want to realize this if everybody else has been on.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, Ben.
Yes, Shino.
I remember in one of the PTL meeting.
Earlier this
week, I think someone asked Chakr, this release cadence practice is going to be wait till Honolulu to start, or maybe start from Guilin already. I don't know. The principle.
So my recollection is that it's due to start in the Honolulu release in ours. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good question. And some people were asking, are we going to trial this with some features? At the last EDF, they talked about sort of trialing this with a few use cases instead of doing everything all at once. I don't think that happened. So that's where they were talking about that as well. I think some of this still needs to be worked out. So one of the RC, the sign off points, RC0, 1, and 2 for testing and integration, and these branching points also, like when do you cut the new branch for the code, is still, I think there was discussion at the TSC. There were concerns that there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen for creating a new release and testing, and these shorter test cycles aren't necessarily going to work. Unless we change some fundamental things in integration, I think there were concerns during the TSC from what I recall. Yeah, so. Okay. So we'll see, but I think, so a couple things for this team. If you have a 5G use case lined up, if you look, H kickoff is October, right? So, and we're at the beginning of September, so there's maybe three or four requirements meetings left to sort of present what you want to do in RH. So just be mindful that you probably want to think about what you want to get into RH and socialize it on Ala's call. And after that, you'll want to go to the architecture subcommittee, but of course you can't do that until you've presented on Ala's call. So, and then once you've done that, you want, or simultaneously, you also want to get on the modeling schedule as well, if you have modeling impact. And I think Andy created a modeling page for R8, but I'm not sure.
I have an action to do that. So,
okay,
yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the, if you have modeling impact simultaneously, also before you go to the architecture subcommittee, you should note that if you have modeling impact. All right. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's happened in the past few weeks. Where do I begin? Actually, I clicked on a homepage there. All right, let me make sure I save this off so I don't lose it. Okay. So just today, we were a bunch of people from the modeling subcommittee were meeting regarding the place object. And so let me just spend a few minutes. I know that Andy and Shinmao, this is a repeat for you, but let me just spend a few minutes to talk about that. So for the past few months, myself, Jacqueline, Andy, and many others in the modeling subcommittee have been talking about how to handle location information for PNFs. And with a lot of discussion and debate and research, this is the result, right? So the place object for the location model has been put up in Papyrus here. And here you see the results. So basically, there a place will represent a location for a PNF, and the complex object will still continue to represent the location related information for a VNF. And the information is split into civic address and geo-coordinate information. So the civic address being driven by ETSI standards, country, state, region, postal code, and so forth, basically defines a place. And then there's some qualifiers that you can add for like city name, division, neighborhood, and more qualifiers, which are structures within city qualifiers and structures within data map structures within the building. And then the RFC 6225 defines a number of properties for latitude, longitude, and altitude, and so forth, with some correction uncertainties. and that was basically pulled in directly into the location object. There were a couple of things, two things that were left off. One was this sort of spatial references where you can define sort of a sphere, you know, you can define literally like a geographical or a shape object instead of like a point on the earth. And the other was language that we left off, which we may pull in at a later point in time. So this proposal is undergoing review, or has undergone review this past Monday, past couple of weeks actually, in the modeling subcommittee. You're welcome to provide comments on this. I think it's undergoing review right now. I'll put a link to it here in our notes. Okay. Okay, and there is going to be a presentation on that on the 16th. So if you want to learn in more gory detail about it, you can attend the use case realization call on the 16th on a Wednesday. CMPS is a lot happening in CMPS. I should probably just give you a quick rundown what's happening there. I'll try to make it quick here. Let me see. So we gave the team gave a presentation in the requirements call on August 17th. And the basic idea of the configuration and persistency service is that it provides a data layer, data layer management, a data layer plane for network element data. So information coming in from the standard defined VES event, which Marge is working on, to pull in information provided from a PNF can be stored there. Network element data coming that microservices need to use can read and write to this database. Controllers as they execute on policies and control loop type things and workflows. And then of course for runtime operation, when a network elements come into or out of the system, ANEI needs to be the CMPS component needs to be aware of changes in ANEI. So one thing that we should emphasize is that there are 30 some odd databases, sort of smaller databases or individual platform databases within ONAP. This isn't meant to replace any of those. This is meant to complement those. So it's not meant to, you could store management framework data, but it's not really meant to do that. It's meant to store the network element data mostly used by microservices, providing a northbound API and a GUI for access to things for operators and external things. And of course, it crosses all domains, RAN, core, and transport. And there are a number of use cases that are currently using this project. In R7, there was a POC that's being developed by Ericsson, being driven by Ericsson. A lot of companies are on the Friday calls, of course, are giving input, of course, to how this project is evolving and shaped and its requirements and what it's trying to do and so forth. And a lot of presentations made from different people with a lot of domain knowledge. So for example, Ted Johnson last week gave a presentation on the PYANG parser. And he's also given presentations on the temporal database and time series management. But the basic idea is that you see in purple here, this is code that they're trying to do in the POC in R7 to develop to be able to ingest basic models, to be able to take the standard defined VES event that's coming in and make an update to the database. And then as some stretch goals, possibly to synchronize with ANEI. And to provide an interface to an off-the-shelf database management service and to provide a basic CMPS API. So that's kind of what's happening in R7. And then in R8, as I mentioned before, they're trying to, the team has since last October in 2019, we were working on this standalone component for R6 actually, and then we presented in R7, but it was kind of too late, and then it was a short cycle. So we're going to represent that standalone project proposal in R8, and then model-driven POC is what's happening here. Okay, any questions on that? All right, let's see. So. I think so the 5G service modeling kind of what's happening there is there's some coordination between I'm working on this use case as well with Jacqueline, who's kind of looking at it from a modeling perspective from CMPS, and Chuyu Gao from the end-to-end network slicing, they're all sort of related and trying to solve a similar sort of problem. And that is, how do we manage and store and handle RAN model information and other model information, and what do we need to do to spin up a 5G service? So I gave a presentation on that, and have been discussing that at the modeling subcommittee. So that's going to be something that happens in R8 as well. Okay, so I think it probably is worthwhile to spend a few minutes also talking about the PlugFest coming up, because that's a hot topic.
So minor correction, what we're doing in September, the week ending October 2nd, isn't a true PlugFest.
Ah, okay.
And Michaela made that point, and she's absolutely right.
Ah.
It's a virtual, I don't know what to call it. It's bring what you can that's pre-taped and isn't too time consuming, that shows progress being made in ORAN, ORAN software community, ONAP, in specifically in connection with 5G LTE, 5G specifically. Mm-hmm. The real POC PlugFest, the one that's aligned with ONAP release 7, is the first week of December. That's the week ending December 4th, I think.
Uh-huh. Is it going to be a week or?
Yeah, it's this one is going to be, this is going to be real. Real in the sense that we're going to use, real software that may or may not work. It's always interesting when it doesn't work, with both simulators, emulators, and real equipment. And this one will be in 5G Cosmos, which is the, and Ben, I'm going to upload those slides. I won't forget. That's the NSF Power Indoor-Outdoor Testbed, also the FCC Innovation Zone in the New York City metro area.
Oh, yeah, I have that link. Actually, I put it in from yesterday. That's this one, I think. Yep.
Yep.
This one, right? It's advancedwireless.org. I may not load, but.
Oops, I think it's two S's.
Oh, oops, yeah.
Wireless.
Uh-huh, yeah.
There we go, yep. This was what we wanted to do. We wanted to do something real for the POC PlugFest in September, but just couldn't happen. Coronavirus and a bunch of other
things. And there was one the idea was to have one every 6 months, right?
Yeah, the one that we were supposed to have in June got pushed out to September, along with everything else that was supposed to happen in second quarter, got pushed out to September or early October.
So are we trying to double up now? Is that...
We kind of have to. Anyone who has anything that they want to share with the 5G LTE ecosystem is welcome to submit whatever you want to share for the event, the last week of September. And Ben, it says it's 8 days, but as far as I'm concerned, in North America, it's just 5 days. And then we are going to start...
Which is 5 days, so that's 21 to 28.
It's actually, for us, it's the 28th through October 2nd.
Okay, got it. Yep. I see.
Europe and Asia labs will be doing most of the presentations the previous week.
Right. It actually run. If I assume those will be virtual presentations that people can also listen to if they're interested as well. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Everything will be, recorded.
Yeah.
Some of the presentations will be pre-recorded.
Yep. And I have. Hold on. Sorry. Yeah, so I have this. I think this is the thing, right? This, or this was a your PDF, whatever.
Yes.
Of the, yeah.
Yep. But what we're looking to accomplish with, you know, ONAP release 7 is not only 3GPP alignment, but a real demonstration of multi-vendor, multi-operator resource pooling with slicing and search and rescue or first responder scenarios. And Ben, as I explained, on, you know, that's,
right,
that's primarily so that we can exercise, verify, validate pretty much every ORAN specification interface that exists, whether it's pre-spec or already there's already a published specification. And two, because the various operators came together and said, oh yeah, they want to start, you know, everybody has a public safety group. There's one in, you know, Germany and Italy, and of course in the United States, there's FirstNet, and that's not just AT&T, of course. So we want to start, you know, bringing the operators together, and, you know, what are we doing? You know, how did somebody say it? How are we harnessing the power of 5G for public safety? You know, globally.
Yeah, and actually, I often see, you know, 5G slices are one of the big examples is, you know, public safety and things like that. Yeah,
exactly. And it's not just in the United States, or, you know, it's there is a lot of work going on with 5G advanced services and public safety.
Right, right.
Or disaster recovery, or whatever you want to call it.
So, from an for the closer conference in September, October 2, I from an ONAP perspective, I think you had mentioned that any sort of progress use cases or presentations would be welcome. I think you said you there was a number of slots available.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the ONAP based work that was real, in the sense it was, you know, real people in real time and real software and real equipment, in December 2019, anything that demonstrates the current state of the art, upcoming work items, would be of interest.
Right, right.
And for any ORAN member companies, you know, like we have several ORAN member companies, you know, showing, I'll call it presenting aspirational slideware about how ORAN will, you know, realize this, that, or the other thing.
And I think you said demos can be virtual. You're not expecting them to be. I mean, we can't meet in a lab, but right? What?
You could. And I shouldn't really say this, but you know, it's absolutely okay to do slideware and an animation if the real demo isn't available in your own lab to be pre-recorded, and then say, oh, this is what we're working on. You know, this is a, you know, it's slides, it's animation, but, you know, we expect to come back, you know, end of 2020, early 2021 with, you know, a realization of this vision to some, at one extent or another. And then there's also an opportunity for a workshop. If somebody is interested in conducting a workshop, we're probably going to do something, and Marge has been directly involved in a lot of conversations about, the evolving information and data model and alignment with 3GPP you know, what works, what doesn't work, you know, what we hope to accomplish. Mm.
That makes sense. I mean, I think in general, there are a lot of people, I feel like there's probably a lot of service providers who are sort of watching RAN and ONAP and sitting on the sideline and trying to decide if they want to invest use ONAP to manage their networks and are seeing if this thing really going to work. And so I think it's important to show progress of any kind. Yeah. And bring people to speed what's happening. Okay, great. When did you need the proposals?
Preferably before the end of the week of September 14th. But, you know, Ben, I think you know me fairly well. I'm kind of a last minute wonder. So if anybody submits something the week after, that would be acceptable. Well, you know, we've got, I think our times, the preferred time slots are no more than half full at this point in time.
Okay. All right. And it's 3 hours each day in the suite time spots. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we have some contributions that, you know, people have been, you know, they've said, oh, you know, my company is doing something really cool and we want to present it, but we're not going to really have it fully baked until early October. But after this POC Plug Fest, you know, that's okay too. Because we said, great, come and, you know, explain to the community a little bit about what you're working on and when your presentation will be available, whether it's via some other forum or venue, which we would link to, or it'll be uploaded to either an LFN wiki or an ORAN wiki page. We're trying to keep it really flexible because everybody's schedule and everybody's life is a bit messed up by COVID-19.
Yeah, sure. Right. Okay, great. Also, is there going to be is there like one Zoom or is there a group of Zooms or is this, I assume it's a Zoom. I don't even know if it's.
Yeah, the Open RAN Alliance moved over to WebEx.
Oh, okay.
So there will be, several WebExes. I'm thinking I'm just going to use dedicated WebEx. So we don't have the conflicts that we've experienced in the past when we've tried to share Zoom accounts or WebEx accounts. But all of those logistics should be on the ORAN wiki page with the PlugFest 2 general information before the end of next week.
Okay, which I think was maybe here, yeah.
No, that's the OSC.
Oh, okay.
It's the other link.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, this one. I think it's this one. Yeah, and here's where, you know.
Yeah, I need to.
Any ORAN, anybody who's at, you know, whatever.com of an ORAN member company can get access to the ORAN wiki.
Okay, I think I need to look that up. All right. Any questions for Tracy?
We do want to start, developing, developing the AI planner, developing some of the, call them R apps or microservices for the, what I call the real POC PlugFest, the first week of December. And there'll be more information about that also coming out next week.
Okay, great. Let me see, I thought, So Oscar, I remember talking to Michaela about this on one of these calls, but maybe you can touch base with Michaela or Zoo to see if you might want to also give a demo or presentation on anything in R7 at this conference. So I'm collecting requests, and you can also obviously directly send them to Tracy as well. But I know Ericsson has done a lot of in a lot of different use cases, so it might be nice to have some presentations there too. Oscar, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So just
we will certainly consider this.
Okay. Great. And I'll touch base with Marge and see if Nokia. I have talked to the Nokia development team. They have told me that there are things that they can demo. I think the standard fine VES event can be demoed. IPv6 management or interaction with IPv6, I think, can be demoed. I mentioned just I can present the what I presented at the last DDF for all of an overview of all of the R7 use cases, which might be useful or interesting to people. Michaela also suggested maybe also going to the TSC to see if they had ideas and also to get their blessing to get involved as well. So.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Okay. And the TSC was packed today, so I couldn't get on. I couldn't get a word in edgewise, but I'll try to get on the next week's meeting. But before then, I'll try to people who have ideas or presentations, you can send it to me or Tracy, and we'll coordinate. And I'll gather prospectuses from people. All right. I don't know, Andy or Scott, did you have anything else you wanted to add or say or comments about the, is there any questions you have about some of the 5G stuff? I didn't go over all of the, some of the things we've gone over, we've been tracking, it's more than we can kind of go over in a few minutes, but basically we've been tracking like the, some major topics and things happening in the releases, looking at where we are with the various use cases, and just more or less often we would share information about particular use cases and things happening in the use cases so that other people in other 5G use cases are aware of them. Andy like had presented at the use case template, which is now in use in R7, for example. But probably moving forward, we'll do a little bit less of that and maybe try to pick a particular topic to talk about, a little bit more like what I do in the realization calls, because sometimes this can kind of, turn into status reports, which I think people are maybe not as keen on. So, okay.
Yeah, that would be good, I think.
Yeah.
Is there like a dashboard, like a 5G dashboard for ONAP or anything?
So we've been using, this is the main page that we've been using. Let me put it in the chat. Okay. So this is sort of the main page that we've been using for the sort of portal of all the 5G and PNF use cases. It's also the page for other use cases as well, not just the PNF and 5G, but this is where we hang the use case realization calls off of. And one of the things that we do also early in the release is looking at all the different impacts, component impacts. So we are when a use case is proposed, we ask the team what components they're impacting, and we try to see if there's cross interdependencies as well. So this then feeds into the actual release project management pages that David McBride is managing here. So this is after M2, basically. This is the by M2, this is the sort of dashboard that we're using for everything. So from here you can see the various scorecards for various use cases. And then also, if you go up here, you can, there's a per component impact. So eventually those component impacts are captured in this table here. So I can put that in the chat for you as well.
So it's just kind of all together. It's not really separated by 5G. It's just a matter of finding.
So where you can tell those by this page here, we cluster things by 5G.
Okay, there.
In this page, and then the PNF stuff, and then the other stuff, and then also on the component page, on the requirements page itself. If you go to here, I have typically. I created a table for 5G related topics and, you know, XNF related topics. And if we look at the release 7 page, I created a structure for those into various topics. So you'll see like the standards alignment type topics, 5G related topics, XNF related topics, testing related topics. So, you can go to the requirements page and see what are the 5G related use cases. And this group also talks about the XNF ones and I mean other ones as well, because there are many use cases that are kind of interrelated to each other. So, you know, but there are some that are just purely 5G, of course, like end-to-end network slicing. That's just a purely 5G use case. Which through the modeling group you've been very familiar with. So, okay, great. So we're at time. Any last thoughts or questions? I think I'm gonna run it, by the way, the second Thursday of the month, because the beginning of the month, things tend to be very hectic. I'm also running the modeling, discussion calls on the first Thursday and the 5G service call on the third Thursday. I think Marge tried to say something, but she cut out. Hello, Marge? I think you were trying to say something. Marge, are you there? So I'll touch base with Marge again. I think something, she was trying to say something, that something happened. And I see she dropped. Does anybody have an issue with the third? We could also go the last Thursday of the month too, I suppose. But is that okay for everybody?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right, okay. Great, thank you everybody then for attending and hope you have a great day. And
thank you, Ben.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks, Ben. Thank you.
Happy long weekend for everybody in. United States.
Yes. Stay safe.
Yes. Happy long weekend.
Oh, Marge, did you try to say something?
I tried to.
I think you cut out. Are you there? Oop. All right. I'll touch base with you on Jabber.